Welcome to Brad Golf Podcast, a podcast for the average golfer. My name is Dermot Bradfield and golf is in my blood. Join me as I fumble my way around this fascinating sport. Okay, welcome back to Brad Golf. It's the 19th of August, 2020. This is episode 13, unlucky for some, of the Brad Golf Podcast series. Today, we're going to recap on Wyndham. We'll have Nigel's picks for the Northern Trust. We'll discuss current events on the PGA Tour and back at home. Please, as usual, please subscribe to the podcast. You'll find Brad Golf TV on Anchor, Google, Apple, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public, plus more. Please follow, like, retweet, and share on social media. You'll find Brad Golf TV on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube. And you'll find bradgolf.ie. on Facebook. You can also contact us at bradgolftv@gmail.com. So first off, rolling in the money. Welcome back, Nigel. It's great to have you back.
Dermot, how are you?
Very good.
We're in the money again.
We are indeed. This is an amazing run you're on. Absolutely amazing run. How are you doing this? Because you're cheating the system somehow. What's the secret?
No, we're not. This is painstaking research.
Clearly, yeah.
Yeah. No, it was a positive week, definitely with full each ways for Billy Horschel and Kevin Kisner. But definitely, I thought that it was a missed opportunity for, or a missed big win for Billy Horschel.
Yeah.
You got to take your hat off to Jim Herman. He played unbelievable. I don't know where that form came from, where that, you know, standard of play came from. But, you know, take your hat off. Billy did his best, could have got in a playoff. And I think if he'd got a playoff, he would have beaten him. Because if you looked at the TV footage, Jim Herman was a nervous man waiting for the results to come in.
61-63 at a weekend. I mean, if you're not going to win with a 61-63, you'll never win.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's just incredible shooting. Like, he deserved it. There's no doubt about it.
Well, we can have no complaints about your picks. Billy Horschel and Kevin Kisner came in on an each way. Bowled Denny McCarthy, Denny Mac, finished T9. So he's just out of the bookies that I was working with anyway. We're only giving to 8th place.
Yeah, it was close to getting an each way in that one as well, yeah. And Mark Hubbard was in the top 10 for a long time. Made some silly mistakes down the back nine. He gave us a run at least.
He did, yeah. At 9 o'clock Irish time on Sunday evening, you had 4 players in the top 10. So that was, again, value for money. Donald was on Twitter, avid follower. He said, so close. Between United losing the semi-final and Horschel losing by a shot, I went to bed in bad form last night. Fair play for his quality picks. He's making us money and keeping us interested. So Donald had a bad Sunday, all in. He had a very bad Sunday. But great value again in your picks.
Well, we're keeping them entertained. That's the main thing.
You're absolutely keeping us entertained. Yeah, no doubt about it. Shane Lowry scraped into the 125. Unlucky for Seamus Power. Good weekend, but just missed out on the 125. And we're now into the FedEx Cup playoff series now, which there's 3 events. The Northern Trust coming up, which we'll talk about shortly. Week after that is the BMW Championship at Olympia Fields, then the Tour Championship to finish it all off at East Lake. Back that's on the 4th of September. Top 25 players have made it in to this week's Northern Trust. That'll decrease down to 70 for the BMW and then down to 30 for the Tour Championship. Top 5 at the minute in the FedEx are Justin Thomas. He has 2.458. Then we've got Colin Morikawa, 1.902. Webb Simpson, 1.878. Bryson, 1.657. And Sungjae Im is 1.633. They complete the top 5. But really, it's, you know, there's a lot of points up for grab now in these final stretches. In other news, bring it out then from the Wyndham, the Irish Open. Last week, we were one of the first, we weren't the first, but we were one of the first to inform people of a potential change in the Irish Open, the Dubai duty for the Irish Open, to moving it from Mount Juliet to Gallaghorn. Well, that's official now, that's been confirmed. It will take place over the weekend of the 24th to the 27th of September, which is a week after the US Open. That will allow competitors to travel from the US without the need to quarantine. That's on current guidelines, at least. The Irish government have restrictions, whereas in the UK and Northern Ireland, it's slightly different. Shane Lowry was interviewed by The Examiner about this. He said his plan is to play the Irish Open, but we'll see what happens. My plan is actually to go back to Ireland the week after the US Open anyway. There's been quite a few cases over the last few days in Ireland. So look, I don't want to make any decisions. What is it, 6 weeks out? I'll make them over the next couple of weeks. He's never played the course before, but he's looking forward to playing there. And he did finish off by saying, we'll be in the European Tour bubble. That's a bit tighter than this one over here, is how he put it. So he definitely had his European Tour hat on. We did speak about it last week and you felt it was a smart decision. It looks now that really this decision was made for the likes of Shane Lowry, G-Mac, potentially for Rory, but we know there's no chance Rory will come home. But definitely for Shane Lowry and G-Mac, that must be the key reason they moved it north of the border.
Yeah, I wouldn't say just those. I mean, there'd be a few English players, maybe the likes of Matt Wallace or Matt Fitzpatrick, or there are a few other players over in, yeah, who are playing in the States that would have played. You know, maybe we might even get Tommy Fleetwood to play. I don't know. The only problem is it's not a Rolex series event. I'm looking at it at the schedule here. It's a significant drop in the prize fund. It's 1.25 million euros. The prize fund normally for a Rolex series event is 7 million. So that's a big drop. It will be a similar sort of field to what we'll get this week at the Wales Open. Maybe with a few bigger names, but slightly better field than that, maybe. It's a bit of a disappointment, really, but at least we're having an Irish Open.
Yeah, that's it. Moving on from that then, COVID-19 support fund for clubs. So the RNA have committed to a £7 million sterling funding package, which is aimed at national associations and other affiliated bodies in GB and Ireland. So Golf Ireland then is responsible for administrating a package of around, I think it's 555,000 sterling, which aims to deliver immediate funding to clubs meeting specific criteria. You can get a maximum grant. Clubs can get a maximum grant of 10,000 euros or 9,000 sterling, depending on whether they're north or south of the border. They have a few key conditions. One is that they are committed to the Women in Golf Charter. So funded clubs must become a Women in Golf Charter signatory within 3 months of receiving the funding. Bronze, silver and gold commitments there, and that will determine how much you'll get. And also clubs must also demonstrate a clear financial need for this fund and that they have taken measures to reduce costs in their business. So it's not a huge amount of money for clubs, but 10,000 nonetheless is not to be sniffed at. You know, considering that during the couple of months of lockdown, clubs would have lost, you know, anything to maybe even over 100 grand for your medium-sized clubs over that period. It's a drop in that ocean, but would make a difference nonetheless. So what do you think, Nigel? What are we going to spend our 10 grand on?
Champagne bar? I don't know. Maybe it's just... Yes.
Our sponsorship for the pod. I think if they paid us 10 grand to continue on.
Yes.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah,
that's where we go.
Something like that.
For golf restrictions, Kildare, Offaly and Laois have restrictions until Sunday the 23rd of August. But the big news from that area is Abbey Leaks. They confirmed to the Leinster Express that they had to close their doors. This was as of yesterday, actually. They had to close their doors for a minimum of 2 days following one of their members testing positive for COVID. The club insisted that they're closing their doors as a precaution. They're going to carry out a deep clean of their premises and comply with all of the regulations set out by the HSE. So it's the first that I'm aware of, at least. Now, maybe I've missed other news stories, but it's the first I've heard of an individual club having to close due to a member testing positive, in particular since golf has returned anyway. So that's a big one, and I suppose somewhat of a worry for golf clubs, I'm sure, in those regions, but also in Dublin. Also, the US Masters, no surprise here, no patrons this year. So, Nigel, you're not going back this year, that's for sure. It's not really a surprise.
No, it's not.
Nonetheless, it's still big news because, obviously, the Masters is well known for its patrons. You were there, you were scheduled to be there, I should say, for the Part 3 this year. And I presume you're planning to go again soon.
There's a chance that we'll get similar tickets for 2021. But that is going to be 5 months after this year's Masters. So whether there'll actually be a lifting of restrictions in that intervening period doesn't look good. And especially if a Masters goes reasonably well with no fans and the risks haven't decreased, then they might do it again. So it's a case of watch this space.
But look, you'll get there. If not 2021, you'll be there in 2022. That's for sure.
Hope so.
Gavin Watch, a poor week for Gavin last week. Again, unfortunately, he's at the Wales Open this week at Celtic Manor again. Now it's the 2010 course this time around. But also in the field here, Paul Dunn is making an appearance at the Wales Open. We've got Jonathan Caldwell and Cormac Sharavan. Did well last week. They're in action as well. Time's running out for Gavin, but hopefully he can make the cut.
I have a feeling about Gavin this week. The weather's not going to be great. It's going to be very, very, very Irish weather. I know he didn't play well last week, but he's 400-1. He tends to do well on parkland courses when it's tough, you know, when par is a good score. So he's not in a good run. He's not playing that great, but I don't know. I also think Jonathan Caldwell is a good price as well. I might put up some tips on trickydogleg.com later on.
Yeah,
tomorrow for the Wales Open. Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like then maybe Gavin's worth a couple of quid, especially at 400-1. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jonathan Caldwell is going well at the moment. He could be an even better bet.
Super.
Obviously, Cormac Sharman has done well, but his price has come down a good bit. So, and he kind of fell away on Sunday. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Something fairly sudden happened last week. You sent me a message on, I think it was Friday, saying, I've got on the timesheet for Saturday at Baltray. It was very much lastminute.com for the Junior Scratch Cup. How did it go?
Yes, it was brilliant. Brilliant course. Everything was going fantastic. I went out and won over par.
Super shooting.
Was playing within myself, managing my game very well. It was a very tough day, actually, because the wind was coming in, kind of a northeasterly wind off the sea, which is kind of the opposite wind of what normally blows around there. So a lot of the par fours, especially the first, the 11th, the 12th, were all playing, you know, driving nearly a wood into the wind. Yeah. So, yeah, I was out and one over. I was two over on the 14th, hitting the wedge in just off in the semi-rough. And a catalogue of disasters happened. I just pulled the wedge down a bank. Tried to nip a little 58 degree across the green and knife it across into the rough. Hacked out of the rough onto the other side of the green. Eventually it ran up a 7 and that basically killed the round. Had a 78 in the end, but 74-1. And if I parred my way in, it was a good chance I might have won it or even got a second prize. So it was a bit of a disappointment, but it was a very enjoyable day. The drinks I had on Friday night didn't help, so.
Well, you still broke 80 on very difficult conditions. Great shooting. Well done, lad. Just for anyone who doesn't know there, so that's where Shane Lowry won his Irish Open as an amateur back in, what year was it, Nigel?
2009.
And how did you get on the timesheet? So that was basically on, was it Thursday or Friday? You just had a look and there was a slot.
Yeah, on Friday, I just had a look at the Open fixtures. I just give a quick gander, just see if anyone's pulled their name off. And there was a slot there at 10 o'clock, the only one that was available.
Got lucky, because that's been, like I said, hit that for a couple of weeks and it's been jammed with a couple of weeks. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving away from Baltray then, so I had a lesser event. I went to Ashbourne. Now, it's grand course, but it's definitely no Baltray. I was out to Ashbourne on Thursday. I have to say, I was disappointed, Nigel. Did you play there in the practice for the Jimmy Broome back in 2017-18? No?
No, I didn't, but I have played the course before.
So they've made a huge amount of changes to the front nine since then. Back in the day, the second hole was par 3, down to this green with water feature on the right-hand side. Remember that par 3?
Yeah, I remember that hole, yeah.
That was a lovely par 3. It was a nice par 3.
Tough. Tough par three.
What tough par three, yeah. And it was one of kind of my favorite holes on the course. It was a decent hole. That's now been converted into a par four, which is a short par four. And it's, I don't think it's a good par four at all. If you take, it's a 6 iron off the tee. And then it's a, you know, a wedge onto the lower green. They've kind of ruined that nice par three for me. And to be honest, some of the nice holes that were there in the front nine have been carved up. So I was very disappointed with the changes they've made to the front nine. Didn't feel they've improved the course. In match play during the week, we won our match last week, Nigel, the foursomes quarterfinal. We were playing last Wednesday evening. We won that one 3-2. So we're into the semi-final there. That's to be played in September.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. The Battle of the Brads, as you titled it, singles match last week against Paul Bradshaw. I won that one 3-2, I want to say. So into the semi-final there. That's also to be played in September. The draw for that singles was strange, to say the least, with all the low handicappers stacked on one side of the draw and all of the not low handicappers on the other side of the draw. I'll let you guess which side I'm on. So I am waiting for my opponents, but there's three of the big guns are on the other side of the draw. There's no doubt about it. And in the four ball, I've that final, a quarter final, I should say, on Sunday the 23rd. So moving on from all of that, Northern Trust is coming up. And before we step into the Northern Trust, you're going away. You're going on holidays for a week. So next week, you won't be here for Nigel's picks, which is,
no.
People are going to be fuming because, you know, this is their wages they're talking about here. People are making their jobs to follow this. And now they're going to have to go a week without earning money. They're going to be fuming. But hey, that's life. Even Nigel's entitled to a week off. But you'll be back for the Tour Championship.
Yeah.
Back that Wednesday of the Tour.
I may send on an email from either my own account or Tricky Dogleg on the Wednesday. We'll see with the tips.
If it's up when I'm doing the pod, I'll refer to it and we'll see what kind of picks you have and I'll mention it to the fans. Moving on, Northern Trust. So it's usually rotated between New York City and Boston. This year it's in TPC Boston. Field, as we said, is limited to the top 125 on the FedEx. Previous winners here, Paddy Reid. Well, he's looking for a hat-trick of them, but he won in 2019 and 2016. 2019 was at Liberty National, 2016 at Betclage Black. Padraig Harrington has great history here. He won in 2005 at Westchester, New York, after he lost the playoff in 2004 to Sergio, and he lost the playoff in 2009 to Heath Slocum. So he's had good history in this in the past. A great winner in 2005. TPC Boston, originally designed by Arnold Palmer and built in 2002. 7,261 yards. Their card says it's a 73, par 73, but it'll be a par 71 this week. In action, we have Rory and G-Mac and Shane Lowry from Ireland. Three lads will be in action, which is great to see. Tiger is in action. He said he's going to return. What's interesting is he is changing putter again. He's gone back to his famous Scotty Cameron Newport 2 GSS putter that he used for 14 of his 15 major championships. And that's the intro. So, Nigel, tell us.
Well, you mentioned the previous winners of the Northern Trust, but essentially this has been played, as you said, in TPC Boston, which was the host of another FedEx tournament that no longer has the title sponsor, but it was formerly the Deutsche Bank. And briefly, the Dell Technologies Championship. And it's really that sort of form that you really need to look at. Former winners of this were Bryson in 2018, JT in 2017. Rory has won this twice. Well, has won here twice when it was the Deutsche Bank. So this tournament, while it's called the Northern Trust, you need to look at that Deutsche Bank form. And I think this course tends to favour a big hitter, a bomber, or someone who is long off the tee and, you know, has a good short game, puts well. Approach play is important, like in any course, but definitely consistency off the tee is a big factor. I've only taken four selections this week. I was close to including a couple others, but The headline pick this week is, it's somewhat tentative, but we're going to go with Tony Finau at 28 to 1, 3 points each way. We're hoping that Tony is finally going to break his duck. Certainly break the Puerto Rico Open curse anyway. Certainly, Tony has the game. He plays well in Arnold Palmer courses. He's long and straight off the tee. He's got the whole package. And I think at 28 to 1 this week, it's the sort of tournament that he's kind of more likely to win. He's a big time player. He's always done well in the majors. He's always at the Tour Championship, but never actually winning anything. But I think a FedEx Cup playoff event is probably the one event where he's going to make that breakthrough. And I think this week is probably the course that's most suited to his game. Yeah, I think this is the week to put a hefty bet, or at least a substantial wager, on Tony. So we're going to make him the headline selection. He's been the top five here before on TPC Boston. I think it was only a couple of years ago. And he's clearly playing well. It's just this Sunday form is where he just seems to just kind of go flat. I think that's not going to happen this time.
We'll have an emergency check-in with you on Sunday morning to decide whether we're going to stay with Tony or we're going to cash out.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think he'll be in a good position Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Super. Okay.
You were thinking about Tony on a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Look, he's in hot form. Yeah.
The next two selections are at pretty much the same price. The first one is a guy who came in the top three here before. He loves playing at this event, at this course anyway, and he's overpriced at the moment. It's Justin Rose at 50 to 1. He missed the cut last week, but at the PGA, he came ninth. I think last week can be forgiven, and I think in a good way, last week's missed cut has made his price quite attractive.
Yeah.
He hits the ball well off the tee. You know, we all know he's got the all-round game. He's got many, many PGA Tour victories. He's a former FedEx Cup champion. We're in the FedEx Cup playoffs here. There's not many times in the last few years you've seen Justin Rose at 50 to 1. Admittedly, he's well down the FedEx Cup standings as well. So that's extra motivation for him to play well this week. And I think he's going to go well at a course that he likes. The other selection is Gary Woodland, 50 to 1 each way. And both of those are going to go 1 point, 1.25 points each way. I think Gary is another man. Obviously, he hits it a mile off the tee. He's been very consistent at this venue. He's at least three or four top 20s. He's got a top 10 here. He has been going well without kind of putting the kind of four rounds together. He's had a bit of a break. I think he goes well at this time of year as well. And yeah, I have a sneaking suspicion he's going up very close this week. So Gary 50 to 1, 1.25 points each way. And our final man is a bit of an outsider, but you know, he's a massive price for a guy who hits it a bomb. He's not yet to win, but he went well last week at Sedgefield. Well, he went reasonably well. He was in the top 20 or top 30, but it's Jason Kokrak, 200 to 1, a half a point each way. He, as I said, he hits it a mile off the tee. He's shown flashes of real strong form without backing it up over the whole of a tournament, but he has gone very well at TPC Boston in the past. I think he tends to raise his game through the FedEx Cup playoffs. He's got a lot to play for. I'd love to be at East Lake for the Tour Championship. And 200 to 1 is just a massive price. So I think he's more than just an outsider. So the four selections this week are Tony Finau, 28 to 1, 3 points each way. Justin Rose, 50 to 1, 1.25 points each way. Gary Woodland, 50 to 1, 1.25 points each way. And Jason Kokrak, 200 to 1, a half point each way. What did you think of them?
Smashing super. I really like Justin Rose. I mean, a 50 to 1 an each way bet, I like that a lot. Tony, I wouldn't say that's a vote from my heart, is that I'd love to see Tony do well. So I gladly put money on Tony. I'd be shouting for him anyway. So yeah, fantastic. I like your picks.
Yeah, well, there'll be other chances. You know, there'll be a lot of focus on Bryson.
Oh yeah.
JT will have a lot of focus. Rory's won twice at TPC Boston. But they're all way too short. They're all mixed form. Obviously, JT did get a big win, but Bryson is just really, he's just a lunatic. Rory's not playing well. He's not loving the game. I thought about DJ as well, but I don't know. I think he was building towards the PGA and he just went flat on Sunday. Of all the top ones, kind of shorter than Tony, Jason Day popped into my mind. And I know he was on the radar of other people, but I don't think his form in the FedEx Cup playoffs is brilliant, but in this particular course, I don't think it's strong enough. Okay. So I'm very happy with Tony Finau as my headline selection.
And Rory's at 12. Is that because backers are saying Rory needs a really good performance here if he wants to win this?
No, I think he's won twice that course. That's the reason. I think he's too short. Part of it is also the bookies won't put him up much higher than 14-1, really. Because if they do, they'll just get hammered.
Yeah. And also, the betting company I'm looking at here, it's an Irish company. So, like, Irish money has been put on him anyway, which is going to drive his numbers down. But look, yeah, I think your call on this is good. I like your front two. Right, so next week, we're giving you a week off. I think it's well-earned. We'll allow it just this once on the back of a fantastic couple of weeks there. So we'll allow it this once. So enjoy your break. Thanks as always.
Thank you very much.
For your picks. And yeah, I'm looking forward to Northern Trust.
Me too. Enjoy the tournament.
Thanks again, Nigel. So just to confirm, this podcast is not sponsored in any way. All views expressed in this podcast are my own and do not represent the opinions of any entity whatsoever with which I have been, am now, or will be affiliated. Please do subscribe to the podcast, Brad Golf TV. You'll find me on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Google, etc., etc. Please follow, like, retweet, and share on social media. It's Brad Golf TV on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. On Facebook, you'll find me at bradgolf.ie. And you can also drop me an email at bradgolftv@gmail.com. Looking forward to hearing from you in the weeks and months ahead. You've been listening to Brad Golf Podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Please do come back soon and join me for another round.